Line.
Thanks very much indeed, Petrov. Well, it's taken 5.5 tons of luggage, 65 heavy-duty flight cases, and an awful lot of in-flight meals to get them here. Tonight, the conductor, Vladimir Ashkenazi, brings one of Australia's leading orchestras to the proms. The Sydney Symphony has travelled halfway round the world for this, their first performance at the Royal Albert Hall for 15 years. The orchestra began its life in 1932, a momentous year for its home city. The Sydney Harbour Bridge, one of the engineering miracles of its day, was opened that March. In July of 1932, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation was born, and with it, the group of musicians who would become the Sydney Symphony. Well, in those days, the band consisted of just 24 players, performing mostly incidental music for radio plays and broadcasting uplifting melodies for the dinner hour. Since then, they've built a world-class reputation, playing host to conductors like Antal Doherty, Thomas Beecham, Charles Mackerras. In 2009, Vladimir Ashkenazi took over as their music director. This season, seen him embark on a European tour with the Sydney Symphony. They are visiting no less than 8 cities in 2 weeks. For their prom tonight, they're performing 3 works. Scriabin's Third Symphony, The Divine Poem, Ravel's G Major Piano Concerto. They're joined for that by the pianist Hélène Grimaud. And to start this evening, some of Richard Strauss's most delectable music. It's a suite from his opera, Der Rosenkavalier. Well, don't forget, as always, you can get more information on this piece, indeed all the works in tonight's concert. Just log on to bbc.co.uk/proms, where you will find full programme notes that you can download for your delectation and delight. And now, coming onto the platform, tonight's conductor, Vladimir Ashkenazi, to join the Sydney Symphony Orchestra.
Thank you.
A suite from Strauss's Der Rosenkavalier, arranged by Artur Rodzinski while he was conductor at the New York Philharmonic back in the 1940s. Well, not surprising, given Strauss's opera's huge popularity and the glistening beauty of that music, that there were several attempts at extracting bits and bobs from Der Rosenkavalier, some of them by Strauss himself. Not all of them successful, I have to say. One of them was to accompany a 1925 silent film of Der Rosenkavalier. Strauss very handsomely paid $10,000, although he was slightly dubious, and he was quite right. The end result was, by all accounts, rather disappointing. But that suite of music, opening the first prom in 15 years by the Sydney Symphony Orchestra. They're here tonight with their principal conductor, Vladimir Ashkenazy. Well, last week at the proms, we heard a French pianist playing one of the great French piano concertos, Ravel's Concerto for the Left Hand, performed by Jean-Eflam Bavouzet. Tonight, another great French pianist plays the other of Ravel's two piano concertos, the G major. The soloist here this evening is Hélène Grimaud. She's had a passion for Ravel's music since childhood. Well, I met her earlier today, and I asked what got her hooked.
It was a combination of the magic of Ravel's sounds, which very often I find are evocative of forest, the imaginary world, l'enfant et les sortilèges, you know, these sorts of colors, which really transport you to another world, sort of like Avatar, but just more real. But even more than that, even though I wasn't aware of that right away, this conflict in his music between the order, purity, lightness, and then the other side, which is all of the unresolved tensions and all of the darkness that you feel sometimes in the sort of rubbing harmonies and dissonance that you get in the music. And when they appear, they're very poignant somehow.
Given that you know this piece so well, what is the mark of a successful performance for you? What makes you get to the end and think, yes, that was how I wanted to do it?
I would say it's emotion in the second movement. It's a very, very tricky movement. It's very easy to do too much or not enough, and to find absolutely the right striking chords for that is quite mysterious, in fact. I mean, it's anything to do with emotion. It's not something you can reproduce based on willpower or on skills or artisana or anything like this. You know, there's another unknown factor which is coming in the equation, and thank God for that, in fact, otherwise it probably would be boring. If you knew it was there, it wouldn't be emotion anymore. But that's, for me, the most important. And then, of course, it has to sparkle. I mean, there has to be this effervescence, and there has to be, you know, also palpable joy at the plays of instruments and the questions and answers and all of the vital exchanges which take place in the piece, and the rhythmical element, of course, which is very, very important too. So these elements have to be there, but they're not quite as elusive as the emotional part.
Tonight's soloist, Hélène Grimaud. Well, Ravel's two piano concertos were among his final works. They were written close together between 1929 and 1931. But they couldn't have been more different. The Left Hand Concerto was all darkness and drama, a piece full of tension between the soloist and the orchestra. The G major, on the other hand, is a much lighter affair, modelled, Ravel said, on Mozart and Saint-Saëns. But it's not altogether surprising that he should write two such different works so close together. Ravel, after all, was a man who loved trying on different musical personas. He had a passion in life for all sorts of games, disguises and masks. Well, I'm delighted to be joined here in the box this evening by Margaret Throsby. She's from the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. Margaret, very warm welcome to you. Delighted to have you here. This Ravel concerto is a great showpiece for this orchestra, isn't it?
It certainly is. I mean, it is for the soloist, and it is for the orchestra, and I think they did it pretty well in rehearsal, so I'm looking forward to hearing what they do with Hélène Grimaud in the actual performance. I think they've lifted, I think with the introduction of the guest conductor Vladimir Ashkenazy in 2009, the orchestra really went to a different level. I think they've really lifted off, you know, and they're sounding fantastic, I think. I'm very proud of them.
Well, we expect great things from them here tonight. Margaret, just tell us, what are you doing here at the proms?
Well,
have you bagged a lift with these guys?
How do you know? Yes, no, I was invited to come along just for the UK leg of their tour. As you know, they're on the continent as well. They're going backwards and forwards very quickly. They were in Lucerne last night. They're here tonight, and then they're off back to Europe tomorrow morning on an early flight. But they're veteran travellers, most of them, and it doesn't seem to faze them, nor does it make them make their sound any less. I'm presenting this helping to present this concert and the one in the Usher Hall in Edinburgh, which is a tribute to Sir Charles Mackerras, which is next week.
Sir Charles Mackerras, who had a very long and deep association with this orchestra.
Indeed he did. He was the first Australian chief conductor, appointed in the 1980s, and 1982 to be exact, and he kind of brought a European sound to the orchestra, notwithstanding that they'd had many European conductors, including Sir Eugene Goossens, who was the man responsible for the Sydney Opera House, in fact. He was the chief conductor in the 1950s, late 40s, early 50s. And it's him we have to thank for the Opera House.
And interesting that you mentioned the Opera House. What I didn't know about this orchestra is that it's actually their home, although it shouldn't have been somehow.
Well, it is their home. It's where they give their concerts, most of their concerts. It mustn't be confused with the opera and ballet orchestra. There's a different orchestra entirely. It's, I think, different from Vienna, which I think the Vienna Philharmonic plays for the opera there.
Margaret, thank you. We're going to talk more after the performance of the Ravel, which is coming up imminently. Hélène Grimaud, the soloist here at the Proms tonight, Vladimir Ashkenazi, will be conducting the Sydney Symphony Orchestra. Well, Ravel famously said the inspiration for this piece came in a rather unlikely way on the train between Oxford and London. But the initial idea, he said, was nothing. Writing music, 75% an intellectual activity, much less about inspiration. Well, here come tonight's soloist and conductor joining the Sydney Symphony Orchestra for Ravel's G major piano concerto.